The scripture for this morning is Matthew 5, 21 through 26. Listen this morning for God's word to you. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment." But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, "Raca," is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, "You fool," will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on your way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. I believe that God always blesses the reading and the hearing of His holy word. Some of you can remember back to the 1970s. You remember a little ring called the mood ring? I'm sure a lot of you had one, especially young girls. They were very popular with them. The theory behind the mood ring was that the body heat fluctuates with the emotional state of the person wearing it. And the ring was attuned to the body's temperature. None of this was ever established scientifically, though. In 1976, a Peanuts comic strip, Peppermint Patty, gets so angry at Charlie Brown that her mood ring explodes. Now that's what I call a bad mood. My favorite example, though, maybe of a mood ring humor concerns a woman who reported that her husband was unhappy with her about her mood swings. So he bought her a mood ring. He hoped that he would be able to monitor her moods and prepare himself accordingly. Walk in the door and look at the color and know how to act. Makes pretty good sense, at least to a man. And it worked. He discovered that when she was in a good mood, the ring turned green. And when he was in a bad mood, the ring left a big red mark right on his forehead. Said, maybe next time he'll buy me a diamond. A big one. And I don't agree in violence. That's just a joke. But everybody gets in a bad mood sometimes. All of us. Every single one of us. Some of these moods, however, if not controlled, can lead to some very bad things. And we can see it even in our biblical characters all through the Bible. And then we can see it in our contemporary society. We all remember the name Timothy McVeigh. In explaining why he bombed the federal building in Oklahoma City, he said that he was angry with the government over how they handled the Branch Davidian crisis in Waco, Texas. He got angry, so he blew up a building, killing over 100 innocent men, women, and children. Angry, but inappropriate. All of us at some time or another experience anger, resentment, hostility, and even rage. Thankfully, we handle it better than Timothy McVeigh. For some of us, anger is a big issue in our lives. It even causes us to lash out at our spouses, our children, even our pets. We unleash it on others on the road or in the workplace, and we make ourselves and those around us miserable with our anger. Now, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus confronts the subject of anger head on. He said, "You have heard that was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment.' But I tell you, anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment." Now, why would Jesus make these extreme comments about an emotional as universal is anger, something that he actually displayed himself and that we all have. Is it because an outward act begins with an inward emotion? It appears to me that the number of teenagers and adults walking around with like ticking time bombs is increasing. Anger in our society is reaching appalling proportions. A former police officer, and you've seen it on TV, recently shot a man sitting in front of him with his wife because they got into a confrontation over a text message, and he threw popcorn in his face, and a former police officer shot him to death in the theater. Another man is on trial. Trial just ended yesterday with the verdict. Shot into a group of teenagers in the car, killing one because he was angry over the loud music in the car. And just this week, there was a report on television on how to keep yourself out of road rage incidents, how to avoid it, what to do. So we need to take Jesus seriously when he says that the heart of the problem is the human heart itself. If we are filled with anger and hate, we're all potential murderers. I thought about that statement a lot, and I don't like to think the possibility that I could become a murderer. But knowing human nature, is possible for anyone. Anger is destructive to others and it's destructive to ourselves. We know how destructive anger can be to others, but we may not be conscious of how much anger can be destructive to us, our own selves. Dr. Redford Williams Jr. of Duke University reported several years ago that anger or hostility is as harmful to our bodies, particularly to our hearts, as smoking and high blood pressure. Did you know that a rattlesnake, if cornered, will bite itself? Stress and anger. Anger and resentment are like that. They're destructive not only to others, but to ourselves as well. And so we ask, how do we deal with anger in a constructive way, and what are some guidelines? In the first place, we need to see that there are times when people ought to express their anger. That is something that a lot of good, sweet, nice, decent people need to realize. When Jesus told us to turn the other cheek, he did not mean for us to become doormats for everyone to walk over. Certainly, we are not to be doormats as people or as Christians. Remember how he drove out the tax collectors out of the temple? He was angry with those who criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. He even uses the word anger in Mark 3. And in Matthew 23, he called the Pharisees blind fools. So we conclude that there is a place for anger. We are wrong if we take these words to mean that all anger is a sin. Paul tells us, be angry and do not sin. There are times when expressing our anger is the proper thing to do. Sometimes that can be hard for us to rationalize as Christians because we're told never to be angry. There's an old story of a Swami in a village in Bengal who claimed to have mastered anger. When his ability to control his anger was challenged, he told the story of a cobra who used to sit by the path and bite people on their way to the holy temple. A Swami went to visit with a snake to try to help him with this problem. Using a mantra, he called the snake to him and brought it into submission, and telling the snake that it was wrong to bite people, and the Swami persuaded and to promise to never bite anyone again. And when the people saw that the snake would not bite them, they were not afraid of it anymore. Unfortunately, before long, the village boys were tormenting the poor snake by dragging it through the village. Later, the Swami again visited the snake to see if he had kept his promise of not biting anybody. He found the snake miserable and hurting, and the Swami, on seeing this, he exclaimed, "You're bleeding. Tell me how this has come to be." The snake was in anguish and blurted out that he had been abused ever since the Swami had made him promise not to bite anyone anymore. To which the Swami said, "I told you not to bite, but I did not tell you not to hiss." We need to know that it is all right to hiss when we are being abused, when we are being taken advantage of, when we're being beaten up mentally or spiritually or psychologically or physically. It's okay. We need to express our anger in the face of evil and remember that even anger is a gift from God, and it can be a great motivating factor in life. Martin Luther once said, "When I am angry, I can pray well and I can preach well." Yet anger is a waste of time and energy when we become angry in the traffic and we explode because the traffic is not moving fast enough and there's nothing, absolutely nothing you can do about it. Or the Steelers lose a game and you become angry and you go nuts over it. It's a football game and they lost. What can you do about it? Nothing. Or you become angry and you're standing in line at Starbucks or McDonald's and the line is not moving fast enough for your satisfaction because you want it and you want it now. And so you become angry and hostile, taking out your emotions on the clerk. Anger is our enemy when we get it out of control, or even worse, when anger begins to control us and we get too comfortable with that anger. There's another guideline equally as important. Anger needs to be resolved at the first possible opportunity. Immediately after speaking these harsh words of judgment concerning anger, Jesus says, "Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled with them, then come and offer your gift." In other words, he is telling us anger needs to be resolved at the first possible opportunity. Anger is most destructive when it is allowed to lie dormant for a long time and be infected like an infected wound. If you don't treat it, it gets worse. In his book, The Great Divorce, C.S. Lewis tells the story of a visitor who is permitted to be a temporary guest in hell. At one point, the visitor accompanies a busload of souls from hell who are allowed to visit heaven. Strange concept. While in heaven, these residents of hell each have the privilege of staying in heaven if they choose to stay after having been in hell. But surprisingly, they do not choose to do so. The book considers the stories of these passengers telling why they would rather not stay in heaven. And one of these is a woman whose husband had treated her so badly on earth. She decides to return to hell. The reason is, she said she would rather burn in hell than to forgive her husband. I've seen people with that kind of anger, that kind of resentment within their lives, and the results are often tragic. Tragedy so often results from unresolved anger and resentment that builds up day after day, sometimes year after year. Remember the old adage, never let the sun go down on your anger. It's a good principle for everyone concerned. It's good for your marriage. It's good for your family. It's good for where you work. But it's also good for your health. It's good for your business. It's good for your relationships. It's good for every area of your life. Raymond McHenry tells about a scene in the Academy Award-winning movie Forrest Gump that's worth pondering. You know, a very successful movie, one of my absolute favorite movies. And most people remember the line, life is like a box of chocolates. That's become a part of our culture now. But there's another line McHenry says is worth noting. And this particular scene has one of the central characters, if you remember the one that he's in love with throughout the whole movie, named Jenny. She returns to her old home after her father has died. The old farmhouse is dilapidated and it's abandoned. No one's lived there for years. As she reflects on the sexual abuse that she endured as a child, she is overcome by rage. And she reaches down and picks up a rock and she throws it at the house and throws it at the windows. The photography is powerful as it shows her rapidly reaching for rocks and then violently throwing them at the house. Jenny finally falls to the ground in exhaustion, pure exhaustion, physically and mentally. And the scene closes with Forrest Gump sympathizing with her and saying, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. And that's true. No matter what anyone has done to you, sometimes there just aren't enough rocks. And that's when we need to surrender our anger. That's when we need to surrender our hatred to God and allow Him to replace those negative emotions with love and forgiveness. This brings us to our final guideline. Unresolved anger is a spiritual problem. Anger not only affects our health and our relationships with others, it affects our relationship with our God. That is why Christ tells us that we're offering our gift at the altar to go be reconciled to your brother or your sister. So what do you do with your anger? There's a simple book that became very popular worldwide, and it's entitled The Law of the Garbage Truck, How to Respond to People Who Dump on You and How to Stop Dumping on Others. It seems that some 20 years ago, David Pollet, a keynote speaker and psychologist, narrowly escaped a traffic accident when a car without warning plowed into the taxi that he was riding in. The driver of the other car, who was definitely at fault, began shouting at the taxi cab driver. We've been in situations like that. Person at fault begins screaming at you, and you're like, what did I do? However, the taxi cab driver simply smiled and waved at the obscenity-shouting man and wished him well. Mr. Pollet was impressed and asked why he had done that, and the taxi driver explained, many people are like garbage trucks. They run around full of garbage, full of frustration, full of anger, and full of disappointment. As the garbage piles up, they look for a place to dump it. And if you let them, they'll dump it on you. When somebody wants to dump on you, don't take it personally. Just smile, wave, wish them well. You'll be happier for it. In his book, Mr. Pollet asks, what about you? What about you? What would happen in your life starting today if you let more garbage trucks just pass you by and you didn't take that garbage? And here's my bet, he says. I bet you would be happier. And I believe it too. I believe we would all be happier and the world would be a better place if we could all learn to control our anger and we could be better at forgiving. It's not an easy thing to do. That's why it's within the Bible. So we need to learn to forgive those who have done us wrong. And when you're in a mood to kill, literally or figuratively, because we've all felt that, I'd like to kill that so-and-so. Who in here hadn't said that at one time or another in their life? Pause for a moment and remember the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn your anger over to Him and walk away with a smile on your face. Don't we all wish, and I'll bet Adam and Eve wishes, that Cain had have done that, not been so angry, and would not have killed his brother. May God bless you. Amen.